This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 187. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can call us on
020-88-167-691.
And you can email us on
coach@pitchvision.com.
My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I'm joined by Mark Garraway and Berners. Welcome to the show, Garris. Welcome to the show, Berners.
Coach, how are you doing?
Very good. Yeah, I'm fresh back from a refresher session that the ECB do with their coaches called Coach Development Workshop, which, Garris, I'm sure you know all about.
Yeah, certainly do.
And it was all about coaching in the nets, and I think that's a very interesting area anyway, because I went in with my opinions on what it was like coaching in the nets, and I got challenged on a few things, and it was interesting to see what other people do and how other people cope with a net situation and how they're used, and I think also how they're misused. And I think Berners, there was a lot of pitch vision stuff there. I had to stop myself becoming an advert for Pitch Vision, because just about everything that we talked about, I could have put my hand up and said, yeah, that would work better with Pitch Vision, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been actually live myself at a couple of venues last couple of weeks, and just seeing the power of having something down on the shop floor, so to speak, where, you know, you can interpret a message, you know, very easily by using the video and using the various reports, and just the way that, you know, a youngster, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, if his first trigger movement's back towards square leg, you can quite easily show him and tell him that, rather than trying to point and move and direct him with words and all the rest of it. And it's been really effective at Lords. We've got a system in at Lords now where they've been using the video and just kind of every set of six balls going back to the computer and just maybe looking at a couple of things, showing him, you know, identifying things that are wrong fundamentally, but then also showing the kid when he does something right, which is also equally as important. So, having tools like that at your disposal obviously add to your coaching ability, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all about, or part of the coaching process is to be able to get what's in your head and make it in a way that's understandable to the person at the other end. And that's something that I got from this session, is not just about the practical stuff, the drills or the activities, I think the ECB like to call them now, but the way that you observe and you analyse and you give feedback, which is the process of coaching.
People are always asking me for drills, and I think it's fantastic that people are interested in picking up drills and activities and things that can work for them. But the fact is that it's no use having a million drills if we don't know how to feed the information that comes from those drills back to the individual so they can improve. And as we keep finding out and we keep talking about on this show, people are very different. And the more that we can get into their mode of operation, their mode of learning, their language patterns, the more impact we're going to have. And ultimately, it's a bit like Steve Waugh in many ways. You know, Steve Waugh scored, what was it, 11,000 test runs with three shots. Well, we could have three drills as a coach, but know how to apply them and know how to talk with people and meet them on an individual basis, and we'd become a much better coach rather than having 1,000 drills and not being able to lay it down.
Yeah, absolutely. And the message I got, the key message for me, I mean, obviously it'd be different for everyone who goes on these, and if you have the opportunity to go on one of these workshops, I strongly recommend it. But the key message for me was, don't, as a coach anyway, don't get caught into bad habits of assuming that you know the process of how to coach, and just refresh yourself every now and again on the basics, because you know, it's like anything. If you think you know it and then you never review how you're doing it, you can get into bad habits sometimes. So that's the key message for me.
I was actually interested at being at Lords, and they were saying one of the things they've started doing every 1 to 2 weeks is actually reviewing each other as coaches, because they were saying that you can literally get stuck in a rut with the way you coach. And often when you are coaching, you know, there's a bit of a profound myth that, you know, you're a level one, level two, or you know everything, and the way, you know, what you know kind of rules the roost. So they're very much going down a self-reflection avenue where they can improve each other as coaches as well, rather than just sitting back and resting on their laurels and just, you know, preaching the same messages to kids when maybe that message isn't said the right way, or maybe it's slightly wrong, or maybe they just need to re-inspire and recreate themselves as coaches, which I thought was really interesting.
Okay, let's move on, because we've got an interview this week from the Desert Clubs Cricket Academy in the UAE. So we'll move on to that after the music. But before that, we got our yes-no round, where Gareth and I only get the chance to answer yes or no to three questions that Berners poses to us. So Berners, you've got those three questions. Fire away.
I do indeed. First question, Indian domestic cricket should have fewer tournaments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second question, Kohli is India's most reliable batsman in all formats.
Yes.
Yes.
Third question, radio commentary is better than TV commentary.
Yes.
Yes.
It's interview time on the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show, and today we're catching up with Prisley Ponadavita, who is the head coach at Desert Cubs in Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates, an academy in the UAE. Welcome to the show, Prisley.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you very much.
Now, what is it that you do at Desert Cubs? What's a typical day like for you when you're coaching?
Dave, normally in this part of the world, we have our coaching during the weekends. Mm-hmm. That is on Friday and Saturday, not Saturday and Sunday, because in Middle East, the holiday is normally Friday and Saturday. So we have sessions Friday morning, Saturday evening, then even in the night during the weekend, because that's the time that children get time to play cricket. Normally in my academy, we have divided children according to their ages, like beginners, then under 11, under 13, 15, 17, and 19. So they have different skill training process, introductory part, plus they get a lot of opportunities to play games against each other and against the external academies and schools as well. So when we started the academy, it was a tough task to find teams to play because that time it was very less number of academies functioning in Dubai, and even schools, they have other commitments. But thank God at the moment, and we are getting a lot of visiting teams, schools and academies to play. And basically at Desert Cubs, we always believe skill and the foundation is very, very important. Without that, you will not go anywhere. So what we do is in the introductory part, or for the beginners, we always make sure that they go through that hard foundation part, learn the skills, and at the same time, they enjoy the game whenever they come to the grounds.
What would you say the philosophy of Desert Cubs is, or coaching at Desert Cubs, I should say?
Yeah, my coaching philosophy as a coach is everyone is different. Understand the individual and coach the game. That is my philosophy as a coach. But Desert Cubs has a different philosophy as an organization. And our vision is to produce quality and better cricketers for future and UAE cricket teams.
Now, the your website, which is desertcubs.com, shows that you're embracing technology and moving on to the next stage of cricket coaching that goes just beyond a cricket bat and a cricket ball. So how has technology come into your coaching in recent years?
So we have introduced video sessions. We have introduced a lot of PowerPoint presentations. And we have one-to-one coaching where we film children in different angles and show them. Mm-hmm. And even up to a certain extent that we are hiring coaches and qualified people from outside to come and help us to improve our standards. Because I'm sure that when Desert Cup maintains such a standard, and it will pass on to the other academies as well, at the end of the day, the UAE cricket will get that benefit and their cricket standards will go up.
Yes, because technology is
now becoming so, especially with children, it's becoming so important, isn't it? You know, they've all got the smartphones and the iPads, and there's a lot of information available now, and using technology to pass information on that's going to help young players become better cricketers is all important. But it's also a challenge, isn't it? That do you find that children now have lower concentration levels than they used to because of all the distractions?
Yeah, actually, children, most of the kids, they still love to hang with their Game Boys and their PlayStations and all this stuff. But when they feel that, you know, they can get something out of it, and I have seen during the past few years, and some kids who were mainly with the Game Boys and PlayStations, mm-hmm. and they have allocated few number of hours during the week to watch cricket and watch with a purpose. I always tell my students, you have to watch cricket as a cricketer, not as a spectator. So now they have moved away from that spectator level, and some of the children and who are playing with the Game Boys, now they are watching cricket with a purpose to learn something from great players and learn something from different formats of the game, test, one day as T20s. And they have learned to absorb something, and the time that they spend in front of the TV watching cricket. So that is the most important thing. Now the technology is improved, as you said, and everywhere you have cricket, you know. So what we do is we will encourage them, and sometimes we record certain good games, certain players, mm-hmm. and we give it to them and to share among their friends and to watch. And some coaches have started asking questions from them. And did you watch this game? And okay, how this guy was playing? And what was the important part of his inning or his bowling? And how he was bowling his outswingers or inswingers? So, you know, coaches encouraging our kids to see a different area of the game, not as a spectator, as a cricketer, as a student to learn something using the technology.
Presley Polavita, thank you very much. Head coach of Desert Cubs, thanks for your time today, and good luck with the future.
Thanks, David. Thank you very much, and wish you all the best too.
Okay, thanks to Presley for his time a little bit earlier in the week. And if you want to find out more about that, then head over to the Desert Cubs website. But for now, we are going to answer a few questions ourselves in the mailbag. And the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. So, Berners, you picked out a couple of questions this week. What have you got for us?
First question comes in from John. He's in Hertfordshire and looks like he's just upgraded himself to the 21st century. He's got smartphones and iPads and all kinds of things coming out of his brain here. And he's just asking if we know or can recommend any apps that would be helpful in a coaching environment. He's got a set of 14-year-olds at the moment. He's got some newcomers that have just entered into the county age groups. So what do you reckon, guys? Of course, a Pitch Vision set would be nice, John. That kind of helps.
Well, I want to do a little bit of a Pitch Vision focus, seeing as Berners mentioned Pitch Vision there. And there are some things, of course, about smartphones and tablet computers which are useful as a general principle on them, in that you can have information to hand very quickly. So something like the BatX system, which I talk about a lot, is great to just have the MP3s of that on your iPad or your iPhone or Android phone, and you can use those to run a net session without having any sort of extra equipment there. You can just play the MP3 straight away off of that, and you can also have the scenarios from BatX in there as well. So of course BatX uses lots of different scenarios to change the way you bat depending on the match situation, so you can show the batsman the field setting before he does the BatX session.
Yeah, there's a couple of apps which, you know, work with video camera that you have on your iPad, which are pretty good. And it, you know, it doesn't give you any information on how to coach, but it gives you the video camera You can take images and then you can draw lines and you can stick two pieces of footage up against each other and synchronize them, which is really good, for example, for a back-on bowling angle and then sticking it next to a side-on, synchronize those two up, because obviously people don't get to see themselves bowl or bat particularly regularly and certainly don't see themselves from two angles at once. So that sort of stuff's really good. There's an ability with Cricket Coach HD Plus to narrate over the top and then send that either through a tweet or through a direct email straight to the person that you're working with. And it just means that the dialogue between coach and player can continue way beyond the session that you have as well, which is really good. You can set people homework, which is quite a good thing as well, because what we don't want to do is for people just to come to a session and then turn up for the next session having not even thought about what we did in the previous one.
But I think the powerful thing about having a smart device is that you can have all your information to hand straight away. So you can use a more of a general app, like something like Evernote, which is a note-taking app, where you can just keep all your information, all your notes, all your comments and everything all in one place, and you can organize it but in any way that you want to organize it. And you can do it on your computer at home, and then you still have all the access to that information straight away while you're kind of at the coalface, if you like.
The other things that I will say, there's an app called Attendance, which I think is really important as well for most club guys and what have you. You're trying to work out who's committed, who's putting the work in, who's making themselves available to do the extra practice. So, for example, we have over the course of 2 weeks, we have 16 cricket-related sessions over 2 weeks at school. And over the term, I can log in whoever turns up to each of the sessions. And obviously, they've got a lot of things on that sometimes take them away. But it just gives me an idea of who's turned up and who's been doing the work over the course of time. So on their reports that we've got now coming up, I can write an attendance sort of percentage on there, which is, again, is useful for clubs that have to keep records of things from a child protection perspective. Also, you know, having Keynote, which is the PowerPoint version for Apple on your iPad, is really good, and you can do heaps of stuff. Take video from your practice sessions, insert it into Keynote, and then when it hoses it down with rain on a Monday night, you can plug your iPad into the television at the cricket club, and instead of sending everybody home, you can do some work on tactics, you can do some analysis work, you can open up discussions using some visual information that you put through Keynote, just as I'm sure that David experienced yesterday when he went to his coach education development session. They'd have had a PowerPoint up there that would have given them some information and then stimulated conversation for people to go away from. So that's a really good bit of kit. And then the last bit I would suggest is to get into some stats. So having Excel or Numbers, which is the Apple version, and just taking down information and sticking them on these sheets, you can produce some fantastic graphs about strike rates, about averages, about people's form dipping in and out. You can put all of your fitness statements down for every measurement you do. You've got a thing on there which is like you've got yo-yo test. So if you download the yo-yo test, run your players through a yo-yo test, put the information into your numbers spreadsheet, and then over a period of time you can compare and contrast people. So there's heaps of things. As David said, it's really important to have information at hand, but use these apps that you can get on there as best you can to make your program as strong as possible. And what you'll find is that the kids will really relate into it because they pick these things up better than we do in many ways. And they'll see you as a forward progressing coach running a great program, which will increase motivation and increase commitment to what you do.
And Berners, you are using it for Angry Birds, right?
Hey, exactly. Angry Birds, I'm on about level 642. And it's taken me to the next level of my skill set in life.
But that is an important point to make, actually, because with this sort of great power comes great responsibility. I haven't seen it happen much with coaches, or at all with coaches yet, luckily. But I've certainly seen it happen in the fitness world, where you have a trainer, a personal trainer, and the poor person's doing their sit-ups or press-ups or whatever it is they're doing, and the trainer's just checking their emails and having a look at their Twitter feed and just generally ignoring the other person, because it's very easy to get distracted by all these things. So that, fortunately, I've not seen that in the coaching world yet, but it's a danger that you have to watch out for, I guess, especially if you've got a net which is basically just running itself. You can easily get distracted if you're not careful. So it's just a word of warning as well to finish off.
Oh, well, I think that's really, really true, actually. I mean, I've had peers who've answered phone calls in the middle of coaching sessions. And, you know, I don't get that at all. My phone's always off in a coaching session because it's really important that the player that I'm working with feels that they're the most important person at that given time.
The next question is from Naveen. And his question is about the role of temperament in cricket. And he's just asking how it varies from different forms. So from Test to One Day to T20. And how should one develop his temperament to be a success in cricket?
We've talked about the psychology of cricket a lot on this podcast. But I don't think we've used that word temperament before. So, Gareth, I'm interested in your views on this.
I think it's really difficult for you to, or anybody, to change their temperament when they go out to bat, whether they're playing in a 50-over competition one day and a 20-over competition the next day. If you're always changing your temperament, then the chances are that you're not going to be your real self batting out in the middle or bowling out in the middle or fielding out in the middle. And the crucial thing that we find with all cricketers now, particularly at the top end, and if it's at the top end, it means that it can go down into club cricket and schools cricket as well, is if you play your own game and then you adjust your tempo according to that own game, then you're going to go pretty well. If we're trying to shift our temperament all the time to fit the format, then we're going to get ourselves into trouble because we're going to find ourselves doing things that aren't natural and doing things that go against the naturalness and the game that we've established over the years that we've practiced. So the difference often is tempo as opposed to temperament.
When we're talking about temperament, I mean, the names of people that pop into your head are people like Tendulkar or Callis or Alistair Cook, people who have kind of a very level way of being able to control whatever's happening around them. They're being able to stay in control of themselves.
That's a crucial thing, isn't it? You know, when we're in control, we tend to make better decisions. We tend to execute plans a lot better. Now, the tempo of that plan might be different. So Jack Callis, everybody said, couldn't play 2020 cricket. And then when he played for Bangalore, he was their most valuable player because he had the temperament to make good decisions under pressure. And that pressure would come maybe earlier in his innings than it would do in 50-over or test match cricket. But he'd be able to make good decisions because he understood himself and he applied himself properly. What we tend to see with people who go in fits and troughs and go in and out of form in the three formats is people that are trying to fit their temperament to the format rather than playing as themselves and adjusting their temperament. So the three that you mentioned there would be classic examples of people that know themselves, play within their game, but then apply their tempo to the match format rather than trying to change their temperament completely.
And then if you think of someone who's a lot more attacking, a much more aggressive batsman like, say, Kevin Peterson, I mean, not that the batsmen we mentioned before aren't, but someone who you would think of as a much more aggressive batsman as Kevin Peterson, he would still have a temperament, or he would still aim to have a temperament which is as even as possible, no matter what the situation.
Definitely. Absolutely right. And when he's at his best, and when any player's at their best, they are best connected with the way that they go about things on a normal basis.
But it's very easy to fall out of temperament as well. I mean, you know, batsmen play shots which you say, well, that was out of character. You see that all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we often talk about my problem with going down the wicket. A lot of that's based on temperament, right? Going down the pitch, trying to predetermine things. And, yeah, I think if you look at club players' repertoire of shot selection, a lot of them would be based upon pressure and temperament and maybe not doing quite the right thing at the right time, which a lot of it, in my mind, is experience-based. But because if you do something so many times, you don't do it, right?
Yeah, I guess what that comes back to is the thing that we always talk about, which is practicing in a way that gives you the confidence, as you would say, Gareth, the robust confidence, to know that you can just keep on trucking and keep on going and know that your plan is going to be vindicated if you stick with it.
I happened to bump into Marcus Trzaskowski the other day and we started talking about Nick Compton. Obviously, Nick Compton got two low scores in that first practice game out in India. But what Marcus said is that Nick knows his game and knows himself so well now that he won't panic. And he knows that he might have another low score in his next innings, but after that, he's definitely going to score runs, because that's the way it goes when you're a 29-year-old batter who knows his game inside out, who sticks to his guns because he understands himself properly. Your next innings is only round the corner, and you might have three games, but that means the incidence of the fourth innings being a good one is going to be very, very high. What we do as young players or inexperienced players or not particularly mature players, and I think that's what Berners was saying in his statement earlier, is that we then go searching. We go searching for the answer rather than sticking to what we know. And that's why Nick is now, he was not out when I last looked, that's why Nick's now going to play his test match, barring injury, first test match in Ahmedabad next week, because he got 60-odd not out in the second game, and he was 40-odd not out the last time I saw. But it's a great thing. He knows his game inside out, and he's a guy that's only just coming into test cricket. But he knows his game, he knows himself, and he knows that failure is a part of life. But he also knows that if he sticks to his guns, then he'll have success down the line very, very soon. And that comes down to temperament.
Yeah, and I think, that's understanding your personality is something which you don't understand your personality by the time you're 14. It's something that does take a long time. You're very lucky to be able to do it if you're still in your 20s and you've managed to sort of work out the ins and outs of your own personality. Have you made it there yet, Berners? Have you sussed out your personality yet?
Still searching, mate. Not just for my personality, but for my brain as well.
Time for the soapbox on the show. Every week, one of the members of the team gets 60 seconds to talk about anything they like, as long as it's got something to do with cricket. So Berners is in the chair, on the box, on a pole this week. Over to you, Berners.
It's all about young players and, well, players of any level, really, not being accomplished against spin and not also lacking the ability to practice well against spin. So often, as you start to play cricket, you'd maybe have throwdowns, or you go on a bowling machine, or you're coached by a different range of level of coaches as well. And a lot of that is based around, the practical nature of facing a straight delivery. So various, you've got these sidearms these days, or just throwdowns. When you play backyard cricket, it's all based on seam bowling predominantly. So it's just basically that I think there's a massive breach in the whole the way that players are brought into connection with spin, learn about spin, and also the way in which coaches out there actually coach spin, not having the ability to know themselves and not having the ability to pass those skills on at a kind of raw grassroots level. So get out there, practice playing against spin, and do that from a young age.
All right, that is just about all we've got time for on the show this week. Before we go, we've got a couple of bits of paperwork to sign off on. And so we had two questions this week. Of course, the best one wins the online coaching course prize, which you can find more about at pitchvision.com/academy. And we had John's question on iPads and Naveen's questions on temperament. Which one did you prefer, Gareth?
I quite like the temperament one, actually. Because we got onto some big subjects in the end, and I always think they're the best questions we get, where it starts off relatively narrow and then we end up going off on massive tangents and getting somewhere.
yeah, and we end up with more questions than we started with, which I think is the sign of a good question.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so congratulations, Naveen. That course will be winging its way to you over the internet. Now, Berners, if someone wanted to get in touch with the show and send in their own question, get it answered, and also have their chance to win the prize of the online coaching course, what would they need to do?
They can give us a little ring on the telephone. The number is 02088167691, or they can drop us an email, and the address for that is coach@pitchvision.com.
Our Twitter is at PV Cricket Coach. Our Facebook is Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there. You'll also find us in iTunes. Do a search for Pitch Vision Academy. Or if you can't be bothered with that iTunes nonsense, then head over to pitchvision.com, click on the podcast link, and follow the RSS feed. Now, we had a contribution this week from Twitter for our tail ender, and it's Titanic. and I think probably the brains are whirring here in the studio to suss out what that is. And it is from Malmesbury Cricket, their Twitter account, at Malmesbury Crick. And they say, Titanic is heard at our club when a particularly slow and half-hearted dive has been made after the ball has passed on the basis that the Titanic went down quicker. I'm sure we've all had a variation of that at some point or another.
We certainly have. Very good, I like that.
Power of Twitter.
Yeah, I do enjoy the slightly delayed dive from the older fielder who's decided that it's got past him, but he really doesn't want to chase it. So he throws himself to the ground, and then one of the younger players has to go off after it instead.
Very good.
But you can always, there isn't a word for that, but you can always tell when they've done it deliberately, can't you? A professional dive, I guess. And that's all for this week. So until next week, see you next time. Cheers, Gareth.
Cheers. Cheers, Bernice.